If you got your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 23. We're going to cover the last two chapters here in the book of Joshua as we walk through this pen series. I want to start with this. How many of you online in here have ever made a decision that if you'd have known everything that came with that decision, you'd go back and make a different decision? And how many of you have ever made a decision, and then once you found out everything that went with that decision, you would make that decision again 100 times over? All right? Hopefully that describes most of your marriages, right? Right? But there are decisions that we make in our life that a lot of times are difficult to come by because we don't know everything that's going to come with that decision. Right? We just don't know. I remember at one point in time, you will find this hard to believe, but at one point in time, I had really long hair. And I loved having long hair. I even wore it in a ponytail. And then I made the decision to get my ear pierced. Yeah. I didn't think that through. And I remember when I got my ear pierced, I was working in nursing homes as an administrator, and I got in the car with my boss at the time to go to lunch, and my left ear was pierced, sitting in the passenger side, and I noticed that he kept looking at me, and I wondered what was going on, and eventually at lunch, he explained to me that his administrator over his nursing home would not be a ponytailed haired guy wearing a pierced earring, right? I didn't think that through very well, right? There's a million decisions that you and I come on, right? That if we actually knew the way it broke down and everything saying yes was going to cost us, we might make a different decision. I want you to listen to Joshua chapter 1. This is how it all started. Right after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then," that's a pretty quick eulogy. Would you agree? Right? Like, we're moving on. Right? "You and all these people," he says, "get ready to cross the Jordan." This is the second time, right? "Into the land I'm about to give to them," to the Israelites. He says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west," the Mediterranean. He goes on to say, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." And that's how it started, right? And from that moment on, the partnership between God's people, right, of trusting and obeying God, and God's partnership with them to keep his promise, that all happened. Just as God had promised, that's exactly what happened in the book of Joshua. And we've gone through the book, we've learned a multitude of lessons that God tried to teach his people and hopefully teach us along the way of serving the Lord. That was sort of the point of this whole series, is that when you choose to partner with God, to trust and obey, there are lessons that God pins on us during the journey that we're supposed to learn. Now get to chapter 23 and listen to what Joshua says. "After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all of their enemies around them, Joshua, by then who was old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, their leaders, their judges and officials, and he said this to them, 'I'm old and I'm well advanced in years. Right? You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember," everybody say remember. "Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain. Nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord God promised you." So we go from at the beginning, let's do this together. I'm gonna need you, and you're gonna need me. And now we're at the end. And Joshua's old, 80 when he started this. He's old. And now he's going to give his final words to these people that he's about to leave with the remainder of the task, which is to drive these people out to take possession of the land that God promised them. And then listen to Joshua 24, 15. Joshua 24, 15. I think it says Joshua 24, 1. I'm sorry, David. But if you could bring up Joshua 24, 15. Right? He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, everybody online, everybody here, read this last part with me. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Right? That's the line. Choose. Make a decision. And the great thing about Joshua giving this ultimatum to the Israelites is he, unlike our life sometimes, he breaks down what it's going to require of them to choose the Lord. If I was to ask you online, if I was to ask any of you in here, today, choose whom you will serve. How many of you would say, we will choose the Lord? Let me hear you say amen, right? So here's what God says, four admonitions that he gives the people of Israel, that he would give the same to us in this. Here's the first admonition. Everybody say it. Cling to the Lord. I'm a movie guy. How many of you like movies, right? How many of you remember years ago, all right, this will date some of us, right? How many of you years ago remember the movie with Sylvester Stallone called Cliffhanger, right? One of the greatest, most compelling opening scenes of any movie I've ever seen, where Sylvester Stallone has to crawl out onto this wire to hold on to this lady with everything he's got to keep her from falling to her death. You remember that? Right? And you remember the picture of what Stallone was going through as it was his job to cling to her for dear life, right? And when he was out there, it was clear in that moment of the movie that he had one thought, just one. Failure is not an option. It was one of the most intense moments of any start to any movie. That is exactly the picture that Joshua paints for all of us who said, we want to serve the Lord. Then he said this, you need to cling to the Lord. Listen to Joshua chapter 23. He says this, be very strong and be very careful to obey all that's written in the book of the law of Moses. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Don't associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the name of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Now, everybody read this with me. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. That Hebrew word means to impinge. It means to stick yourself to this person. And in the Hebrew, it's a qual imperfect, which means this. It's an act without completion, but continues on and on and on. Right? The idea is this. If you want to choose the Lord, you're going to have to daily choose to cling to him. Anybody want to testify that that's true? Right? Because everything he said to them was this. If you don't, you're gonna worship a foreign God. You're gonna bow down and serve something else. You're gonna turn aside from God's word. If your practice in choosing the Lord doesn't involve clinging to him, you're gonna struggle. Listen to how this word's used. Genesis 2, first time we see this word in scripture. Adam said this of Eve, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, right? She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Then he says this, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be what? United to his wife. That's the Hebrew word, cling. It means to stick together like glue. It's the idea that you so impinge yourself into something, you are inseparable. And here's the reality. If you choose the Lord today, let me hear you say amen. Then ask yourself, are you clinging to the Lord every day? Are you making it a point that he is the thing that you cling to? with the idea that, listen, failure here, failure in this is not an option, right? The world is full of a million distractions, the kind of things that can make you cling to everything else, right? I've told you over and over, the season of vertigo has made me struggle with wanting to cling to fear. Every time I walk backstage before I come out to preach, I struggle with clinging to fear over peace, right? I struggle with that. It's been the biggest struggle of vertigo. Vertigo stinks. It's no fun, but it is nothing compared to the struggle of wanting to cling to fear as opposed to clinging to trust and peace, right? Joshua says, listen, this won't work. If you're not going to cling like glue to the Lord, you're going to struggle. And you know as well as I do, watching online and in here, that is exactly some of your stories. You can look at seasons in your life and know exactly why you struggled, because you turned to the right, you turned to the left, and you did it because you did not cling to the Lord. Marriage coupling, marriage counseling. What do we find? Two people that started together on a shared journey, clinging together for dear life. And 20 years later, they're sitting in an office counseling because that clinging wasn't something they were paying attention to on a day-to-day basis. And guess what happens? When you stop focusing on the clinging, distance grows between you. And listen, the enemy loves distance. He loves it. He can fill distance with every other lie you can imagine. The world can fill it with every temptation that you can imagine. Listen to Psalm 63:7. It says this, because you are my help, he said, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul what? My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, right? How about Psalm 119? I have chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Listen, clinging to the Lord requires that you not just cling to him, but you cling to his word. Somebody say amen. Right? It's one thing to claim Jesus and to cling to him, but if you do not cling to his word, his command won't matter. You can tell your partner all you want. Man, I love you. I'm your partner. We're in this together. And then you ignore everything they ask. And you ignore everything they want. And I guarantee you, when you get done with that time, you will wake up in a season where you're no longer clinging to that person. Does that make sense to you? That's why we say actions speak louder than words. Listen, if you want to survive as a follower of Jesus, clinging to the Lord and his word on a regular daily basis is essential. And so Joshua says, choose this day who you will serve, which means you're going to choose, but I'm going to cling to him over everything else. Make sense, church? Here's the second one. Everybody say it. Love, love the Lord. So I'm a guy that I like movies, but I like movie quotes sometimes more than I love movies, right? Anybody else? Like you've got those friends that just quote movies all the time. I'm one of those guys, right? So there was a movie out years ago called Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Any other Trekkies in here? All right, four of you that know Jesus. That's awesome. All right, right? But I love Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and the most poignant scene of the entire movie comes at the end when Spock realizes that the only way to save the entire crew of the Enterprise is he has to go into the nuclear reactor, right, to get it started, and yet doing so will cost him his life. His best friend, Captain James T. Kirk, shows up outside of that room, begs his friend to get out of that room so they can figure it out. And one of the most poignant lines of any movie ever spoken, in my opinion, Spock says this to his friend Kirk, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or even the one." That's what love is. Love is ultimately the picture of laying down your life for somebody else. And here's what Joshua says. If you're gonna choose the Lord, then you're gonna lay down your life for him. You're gonna choose to sacrifice, because love is a lot of things, but when you boil it down, it is about you giving yourself up for that person. And there's too many relationships that are built on this. I need this, I want this, I deserve this. Listen to all the language being espoused by all the prominent psychologists who are on TikTok and on Instagram. And what do they tell you? You deserve this, and you deserve that, and you deserve this. And if you don't get this, and you don't get that, then you should leave. That is 100% the opposite of true love. True love says, what can I get you? What do you need from me? What will I sacrifice for you? And the Bible promises in that kind of love, that love will never fail. And here's what the Bible says. If you want to choose the Lord, you need to love the Lord. Joshua 23:9 says this, right? The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you. Did you hear that? One of you routes how many? Listen, ain't no warrior in the world capable of doing that. But God is, right? Because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful. Be very what? Careful to love the Lord your God. Now this phrase in the Hebrew, I won't tell you it's the fancy word for it, right? But that word means something that's done once, and then it is contemplated and paid attention to every day to make sure that what you promised back here continues every day going forward. Isn't that how love works? Because the second you take your eye off of the person you're in love with or the person that you love, and you start making love about what you get, you can find yourself disgruntled pretty quickly. Yes or no? Happens all the time, right? And it happens in a relationship with the Lord, right? It happens in a relationship with the Lord all the time, right? People look at what God should give them if he loves me, if he loves me, if he loves me, if he loves me, and then when it doesn't happen, you get disappointed. And disappointment will eventually lead to resentment. And yet the Bible says that if you want to choose the Lord, you need to love the Lord. You need to be willing to sacrifice and lay down yourself for that. The reason that I fell in love with Gabe as a brother in Christ was when we sat down and had a conversation with him, and he told us our story. Here was a guy that God had blessed, he and his family, over and over and over again. And currently, the place that they were serving in Ocoee, he was blessed with a wonderful ministry, unbelievable blessing of God upon he, his wife, and his family. Financially, God had blessed them, had provided for their present and their future. And yet when God showed up, Gabe didn't say, I love me, I love Sharon, and I love my family more than I love you, Lord. Instead, they said, we will lay down our lives for this call if it's from you. And man, when you sit and you hear that at 61 years of age, wondering who God's gonna build up and drive to leadership of the next generation to lead our church. Man, I fell in love with Gabe in a heartbeat and knew we needed to be 100% behind what he is doing at the Well Church. And God is doing that, but he requires love. And love isn't how you feel. Love isn't you getting something from another person and going, oh, that makes me feel so good, I love you. Everybody knows how to do that. That's what our children do. That's why we call them selfish. Right? That's why we call them selfish. Love is an act where you give yourself up for the other person. Listen to what scripture says, John 3:16, right? John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he did what? Gave up his one and only son. Listen, we read that like it's no big deal. But how many of you would love the world enough to sacrifice your one and only son? We don't even take a second to think about it anymore. Now, if you got more than one kid, sometimes you're willing to give up one of them because they don't deserve it, right? But if you got one and only, Are you willing to love people enough to sacrifice? Listen to what Romans 5:8 says, right? Paul says God demonstrates. Now he just didn't say it. He demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, not thinking about God, not honoring God, not clinging to God, not loving God, Christ, what? Died for us. Love sacrifices. It doesn't consider itself. It considers itself the source. In our world, we're being taught, you're being taught, your sons and daughters are being taught that love is for self, and then it's generous. Love is always first generous. It's always sacrificial because love will come back to you in that regard. And listen to what the writer says in 1 John 4. Whoever does not what? Whoever does not what? Love. That word is agapao. It means to sacrifice, right? Whoever does not sacrifice, whoever does not love, does not what? Doesn't know God. Listen, if it's not present in your life, if that mentality isn't present in your life and choosing the Lord, that you will serve him, you will put his needs above your needs, his wants above your wants, his desires above your desires. He says you don't know God because God is what? It's love. Salvation is first relational. God loves us. Anybody grateful? Say amen. Right? He goes on to say this. Right? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Our response online in here, followers of Jesus who choose Jesus, choose to follow the Lord. Let me hear you say amen. He says, we love. Why? Because he did it first. He did it first. Choosing the Lord seems acceptable to you today. Then here's what it means. Not only will you cling to the Lord, not only will you impinge yourself in him so intently that it feels like you're glued to him, you will love the Lord. Why? Because he loved you first. While you didn't care. And so listen, some of you can remember well what it felt like to not serve the Lord and to serve only yourself. You knew and you remember what it felt like to learn for the first time that God loved you so much, he sacrificed his son for you. And you're here today, clinging to the Lord, because you love him, because he what? Loved you first. That's the call of choosing the Lord. You have to learn how to be second. You have to learn how to love from the second chair. Right? This is why marriages fail. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave, everybody say gave. Gave what? Not presents, not money, not anniversary gifts, not special dates. He gave up what? Himself for her. I guarantee you why 95% of marriages fail, because Jesus isn't present in the home in the form of a husband who dies for his wife. That's why most men won't come and counsel with me. And I say that as a guy who's failed that in many ways, right? Jesus said it this way in Matthew 22, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? They were all about outward, external obedience to honor God. And Jesus said this, say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all. He says that's the first and the what? Greatest commandment. Everything that follows, everything that you do should be built on one command. Love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself, which means if you're sacrificing for God, you're sacrificing for who? Your neighbor. Because this love always translates this way. If all you care about is gathering and lifting hands and singing, right, and doing all of that stuff and all the fun stuff and all the glory stuff, and it doesn't involve laying down your life for your neighbor, laying down your life for your friend, laying down your life for your family, laying down your life for your enemy, then the Bible says you don't know God, because God is what? He's love. John said this in John 14. If you what? Love me, you will obey what I command. Listen, these guys were going to be tested. And we're going to find out in Judges they do not do it well. But you have a chance to do it well. You have a chance to decide today whether you need to learn how to love, because love the Lord your God, because if choosing the Lord seems acceptable to you, not only will you need to cling, you will need to love, which means you will need to be the kind of person that says the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or even the one. Does that make sense to you, church? That's what love looks like. Here's the third admonition. Say it with me. Fear, not the most popular phrase when it comes to God is love, right? So this is a picture of my mom and dad. This is the picture that's on their headstone. It was taken on their 25th anniversary. My dad died shortly after this at 49 years of age. You can't really tell in that picture, but my dad was a big man. He was about 5'10", 5'11", and from the waist up, he looked like he was 6'4", 6'5". Now, he had bird legs, okay? But he was a big man. He was an ex-military. He was a strong guy. And I tell you what, I grew up in a home where I feared my father. But eventually, I grew. And his little short 5'10 frame was shadowed by my 6'4 frame in high school. 6'4", 200-plus pounds, right? I towered over him. And I remember the moment where I decided, see, I'm talking about my dad, and God's like rumbling thunder outside, right? He's like, be careful, right? But I remember it. 17 years old, sitting in the living room, and my dad ruled with fear. Not a lot of love, but with fear. And I remember the moment I decided, you know what? I'm not afraid of you anymore, old man. I remember it. And he said something to me in the living room, and there was a coal stove between us. I couldn't see him. He couldn't see me. But he said something that finally tripped the wire in me, where I decided that was it. I wasn't taking it anymore. I was going to whoop him, and I was done. And he said something, and then my mom and my two sisters were sitting on the couch, and I could see them out of the left side of my eye, and my mom just did this, right? And I did it. I smarted off to him with one of the best retorts I've ever given, and dead silence fell over the room. Dead silence, and it lasted for like 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden, my dad rose. He got up and walked over in front of me, never said a word, and he just slapped me right across the face as hard as he could. Now, I didn't cry. And I didn't get up and punch him in the face, right? He went and sat back down and never said another word about it. And the only thing I could remember thinking to myself in the moment was, Cord, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? You ever have one of those moments? Listen, I've raised three boys. I had that moment with all three of my children. I remember telling my oldest son in the dining room of our home when he was 17, this is your shot. Every little dog thinks they're going to be a big dog, right? And I told him, I said, if you want this to be the moment for you, take it. And I remember Jeremiah balling up his fist, and I thought, he's going to be dumb enough to swing at me, right? I honestly thought that, right? I thought this is what's going to happen. My middle son, Japheth, by the time he reached that moment, he was 6'6". He was bigger than I was, right? And I thought, but every one of them did it. Right? And the reality is this, that when it comes to fearing the Lord, we don't like the sound of that, because we just said God is what? He's love. So how does that play into it? Listen, if you're struggling with this, then you're just not being honest. How many of you in here have children, right? Raise your hand. And how many of you love those children? And yet anybody that would want to harm those children should be scared to death of you. Everybody gets it. How many of you are in a relationship where you love somebody and you would do anything to protect them, and anybody who would threaten that should be afraid of you? Anybody? Yes, you know that feeling. Why is it so odd that God can love you and yet there should be a component of fear with him? It's that same way with you. Listen, if your children know how much you love them and all the rules you set in place for them are for their own good and protection, would they ever disobey you? No. No, if they knew it truly, but because they don't know how much you love them, they don't trust it all the time. Sometimes they have to meet a side of you that is just the same intensity of love in the same coin that says, listen, I told you not to run into the street and you almost got hit by a car, right? And then all of a sudden, Papa Bear shows up and gets on that child about, this is why we don't go into the street. Smack, right? Is that not love? At its core, isn't that the greatest way to show love, to protect those that you care most about? And yet somehow we don't like the sound of it with God. Listen to what Joshua says in chapter 14. He says what? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Fear the Lord. That word is the idea of be afraid of, to be in terror of. Right? We don't like it. We try to make the word mean reverence and awe. And yes, there's scriptures that would validate that's the word. But the majority of the time that word is used in the Old Testament, right? It means one thing, dreadful. Dreadful. Be afraid. Listen to these verses, right? Listen to these verses. Skip the Acts story. Go to Job 1. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 1. How many of you are familiar with Job's story, right? One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan said, right, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. And then the Lord said, this is God's plan, to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? How would you feel if your name was inserted there, right? There is no one on earth like him. God said he's blameless, he's upright, and he's a man who what? Fears God, and because of that, he shuns what? Too many of us don't fear God, and because of that, we never shun evil. And we think, well, God is love, and we tell everybody God is love, and whatever you do, don't shun evil. It's okay to accept it in spite of what God's word says, because God is just love. The Bible says he's a man who fears God, which motivates him to do what? Shun evil, right? Does Job, listen to Satan's question. Does Job fear God for nothing? It's a great question. Because look what Satan says. Haven't you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread. Let's ignore that. Spread, right? So his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely what? Curse you to his face, to your face. And Satan was wrong, because Job feared the Lord and shunned evil. Listen, if you want to choose the Lord this day, if today choosing the Lord seems right to you, you got to cling to him, you got to love him sacrificially, and you have to fear him. Listen to these scriptures. I'm going to just read, skip Job. Let's go to Psalm 34:9. Let me just read these sort of rapid fire. You can hear it, right? Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him, what? They lack nothing. How about Psalm 55:19? God who is enthroned forever will hear them and afflict them. Selah, men who never change their ways and what? Have what? No fear of God. We're surrounded by a multitude of people that would claim they've chose the Lord and have no fear of him. No fear of him whatsoever. Listen to this verse. Many of you quote this and know this. It's on your refrigerators, right? Or your coffee mugs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. But listen to verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, say with me, church, fear the Lord and... See, there's a connection there. The church is full of people that claim Jesus is their Lord. It seems right to choose him this day, but the absence of the fear of the Lord will cause you to choose evil instead of shunning evil. And that's what's ruining our churches today. Yes, our world's a mess. Our world has always been a mess. I don't know if you read what was going on when Noah built the ark, but the world was a mess. Amen? Right? Sin was rampant, except for 8 people. And even they were sinners. They just weren't ruled by every desire and passion. Here's the thing. If you choose the Lord, you better fear the Lord, because if you don't, you will accept evil. Now think about your life. Think about your marriage. Think about your moral choices. Think about your sexuality. Think about your relationship choices. We look at Scripture and we've built so much of what we do on the fact that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Somebody say amen. But the goal of loving the Lord is to sacrifice yourself. And the absence of the fear of the Lord will almost always allow you to choose yourself. And there's too many people sitting in churches today that don't shun evil. Instead, they love the Lord in their mind and then they accept evil. They watch pornography. They have affairs, right? They sleep with multiple partners. They get drunk. They do drugs. They gamble. They cuss. They do all kinds of coarse jesting, right? They don't care about God's commands and God's laws because they're not clinging. They're not loving because they're not sacrificing themselves to Him. And yet, at the end of the day, they do not possess the fear of the Lord, right? Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, right? Wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then Solomon concludes in Ecclesiastes with these words, right? All has been heard. All has been heard. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, because that is the whole of man. Amen? Fearing the Lord is part of choosing the Lord. And then here's the last thing. Last thing is serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I love this picture. It's a picture of some gentlemen back in the 1920s that were building skyscrapers. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate heights. Anybody else? Listen, if you love Jesus, you're scared of heights, okay? I don't know how they did this. Just sitting there, I don't even see a rope tethering these people to that thing. And yet when you look at this picture, the only thing that comes to my mind is these are men that grabbed their lunch pail that morning and went to work. That's work, right? Listen, if you choose the Lord this day because it seems right to you, know this, you got to cling to the Lord. You got to have to love the Lord, which means you love Him more than you love yourself. And you're going to have to fear the Lord, because in the absence of the fear of the Lord, you will not shun evil. But the last thing you need to do is to serve the Lord. That Hebrew word means to be in bondage to Him, to be a bond slave, and to work. The Greek word is ergo. It simply means to labor, to work. There are too many, listen, another reason I fell in love with Gabe is because he said, I want to go to work. That's the reason I love Sharon. I just met her, but I love her because she said, let's go to work, right? And Pastor Caleb and his family, let's go to work, right? Because it's not easy serving the Lord. Somebody say that's true. It's not easy. The work happens every single day because hundreds of thousands of people die every day and stand before a living God. Amen? Which means our work is not done. And when there are people who want to work, that's how the kingdom advances. There's too many people that think choosing the Lord means to sit and to criticize as opposed to pulling up your bootstraps and getting to work with the Lord. We need people in the safe team. We need people in hospitality. We need people in student ministry. We need people in children's ministry. We need people on mission streams, mission trips. We need people to partner with the Well Church. We need people to do all kinds of things. And yet, too many Christian people who choose the Lord don't consider serving Him to be a part of it. No, my job is to come in and to criticize worship, or to criticize how long Pastor Cord preaches, or to criticize how stupid Joe's jokes are, right? Or why is there so much smoke? And why is the noise so loud? And why do we do this? Listen, the reality is this, nobody was hired to be a critic in the church, but we were all hired to be co-workers in the kingdom. Somebody say amen, right? Joshua 24, he says this, right? Fear the Lord and what? Serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt and what? Serve the Lord. He said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose, because you can't choose without serving. You can't choose. Listen, if your relationship and you tell a person, I choose you, and you're not serving them, you're not choosing them. It doesn't work that way. If you've chosen them because you think they will serve you, then you're not choosing them. He says, if serving the Lord seems desirable to you or undesirable to you, he says, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Because Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You got to choose one. Because one you serve and one you don't. And one you love and one you don't. If choosing the Lord seems desirable to you today, say amen. Amen. Then that means you are to serve. We are to serve. Listen to Colossians chapter 3. I'll let you find that, David. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, whatever you do, what? Work. Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. How about Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 58? Therefore, my brothers, stand what? Firm, and let nothing move you. Always, everybody say always, always give yourselves fully to the what? Work of the Lord. Joe and I are constantly amazed at pastors that never show up at their own churches to work. You can call their office, leave a message, and nobody's ever in the office. Nobody's ever working. You won't find that here at Tomoka. We're blessed. We have a wonderful staff, but we have people that come here every day fully devoting themselves to one thing, to do the work of the Lord. Are they perfect? Oh, God, I wish they were, right? If they were perfect, they'd have the terrible leader, because I'm not perfect. But our desire is to do one thing and one thing only. Devote ourselves always and fully to the work of the Lord. Listen, some of you have chosen Jesus. Some of you are clinging to Jesus. Some of you are loving Jesus. And some of you are afraid of Jesus or afraid of the Lord. You had that fear, right? So you can shun evil, but you're still not serving the Lord. We'll never get the work done we need to do until the prayer of Jesus in Matthew 9 is fully realized. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, right? Sends workers into the field, for the harvest is what? It's plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. Whatever happens to this church in its future will be built on people who choose the Lord to cling to him, to love him, to fear him, and to ultimately serve him. That's why it was our honor to serve today and partner with the Well Church, because this is what they want to do. And yes, literally, they're right down the road. You can ride your bike from our church to their church. And you want to know, it's not a threat, because the people that God will send to them, he won't send here, right? And yet, there are people that they will reach, just like the gentleman that they reached on Sunday, who introduced him to the Lord and he received Jesus. We would have never met that person, but they met Jesus that day because Well Church was there, because two people said, we want to do this, follow the Lord. And then other people joined them, like Pastor Caleb and his family, and said, we want to serve the Lord. Listen, that's the way it works, right? So in closing, I'm asking you to stand. We're going to read these verses together. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read this as an affirmation. So if it seems desirable to you today to choose the Lord, let's say amen. Let's read this together. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Amen, church.